Hello everyone, hope you're doing well. I'm Srikar here.
And I am Sneha, and today we are going to take you on a ride to the ancient Greek times, where we're going to talk about the great Greek scientists and the famous library, which was named as the Library of Alexandria.
So buckle up and tune into the second episode of Deep into Cosmos.
So on today's episode, we're going to be taking a journey back in time, back towards the realm of the ancient Greeks, and talk about the copious Greek astronomers, the predictions that they made on the heavenly bodies, and the manuscripts that they made, and how these manuscripts were preserved in the ancient Library of Alexandria. So I want you to imagine a scene where you're present in this ancient time realm. You're wearing a robe, either pale white in color or white in color, and many women wearing dresses, kids playing around or kids playing with little rocks. And the robes which they wore, the texture of the robes was very unique and very silky.
It's a sunny day and you just finished shopping for some essentials at the local market. All of a sudden, you look at the sky and wonder why the sun looks half beaten by a dark mass or entity. Now, you can only see a crescent sun. You and the people around you start to murmur and get frightened on what's going to happen.
After a few minutes, the dark mass starts to consume the sun. Slowly, everything goes pitch black, and you only see local civilians running around in fear and causing havoc. You start to wonder why this is happening. You haven't taken your eyes off the sky, and you were constantly staring at the sky even though it was pitch black. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you see a tiny beam of sunlight, which indicated that the sun was undergoing a solar eclipse. But you knew that it was a solar eclipse. What about the people in your locality? What did they think? Well, most of the people in your locality thought it was the end of the world, and they thought that the sky disappeared or the sky must have fallen off.
So back then, in ancient Greece, when the first solar eclipse took place, people started to panic, and the higher coordinated popes and researchers started to think it was a sign of a bad omen. But as the years passed, literate scholars indeed took a deep look into it and found out it was a solar eclipse. The scholars who found out about the eclipse started to be referred to as astronomers.
These astronomers have predicted an immense amount of theories and predicted phenomena which the civilians of Greece thought were bogus. So Srikar, can you tell me about any astronomer you were referring about?
Yes, there is a story all of you might have heard, but let's hear it again. The Syracusan king, Hero 11, commissioned a gold crown shaped like a laurel wreath to be placed in a temple. The king himself weighed the gold and gave the goldsmith the material to turn into a piece of art. At the appointed day, the goldsmith presented his masterpiece, a gold crown shaped like the laurel wreath exactly as the king ordered. And it was weighed, surprisingly enough, it was the same mass. The king was pleased, but days before the temple ceremony, he heard rumors from the people of the kingdom that the goldsmith has cheated him and gave him a crown, not of pure gold, but of gold and a bit of silver mixed in it.
Well, he believed that there was only one man in Syracuse capable of discovering the truth and for solving his problems, which was his cousin, Archimedes, a young man of 22 who already distinguished himself in the fair city for his work in various fields such as mathematics, physics, and engineering.
Archimedes was thinking about the golden crown while bathing in the public baths one day. As he began to enter a cold bathtub for his final dip, he noticed water started dripping onto the sides. As he continued to lower his body into the bath, even more water ran out over the sides of the tub. In this instant, he recognized the solution to Hero's problem. He jumped out of the tub at once and ran all the way home without remembering to put his clothes on, all the while shouting, "Eureka! Eureka!" which in Greek means, "I found it! I found it!" And thus, he formed the principle of buoyancy and also proved the goldsmith has indeed cheated the king. This story isn't particularly related to astronomy, but this is one of the many great tales of him that made him a recognized physicist. But this doesn't mean that he achieved less welcoming to astronomy. He indeed created an astronomical machine to figure out the length of an year. That astronomical machine was made out of glass spheres, one inside the other, and was turned by water. He predicted eclipses, tides, and floods. He believed that astronomy was geography in motion. Maybe that is what inspired him to make the first planetarium. He helped people navigate ships in the sea.
Also, an interesting thing to note is he created burning mirrors, a system of large mirrors placed on the walls of the city that concentrated solar power in order to burn any ships foolish enough to sail against Syracuse. The story is extremely controversial, and even to this day, historians and engineers alike debate whether this is a fact or a myth.
Well, moving on, Sneha, do you know any astronomers from the Greek?
Well, I sure do, but this particular astronomer's name is kinda hard to pronounce. So, say it with me here, fellas. Aristarchus of Samos. Can you pronounce that, Shrikar?
Yes, let me try. Aristarchus of Samos. Well, I got it.
That's great. Well, he was an ancient Greek astronomer and mathematician who predicted the heliocentric model, which postulated that the sun was the center of the universe, and our home, Earth, was just a mere planet orbiting around or revolving around it. Aristarchus predicted that the other stars in the sky were stationary and were bodies like the sun, but farther away from Earth. But when you come to think of it, are these stars really stationary? As of what we know now, we can identify many aberrations about heliocentricity. The only extant work of Aristarchus was a book that he made, which was called as On the Sizes and Distances of the Sun and the Moon. Through this book, Aristarchus concluded that the sun must be larger than the Earth, and that it is only possible that a tiny object ought to orbit around a larger object, which brought him confidence in the revolutionary ideas he made. But his theories on the universe have been pieced together from later works and references. One of the most important and clear theories was mentioned by Archimedes in his famous book, which was named as The Sand Reckoner. Well, Shrikar, would you agree with Aristarchus of Samos?
Well, for me, yes, to an extent, but not entirely.
Let me tell you why you think of that. Some historians have suggested that Aristarchus himself discarded his theory, as his theory started to fail to meet the circular movements of the heavenly bodies, which was predicted by various other astronomers of his time. All in all, Aristarchus was the first astronomer to predict the movements of the heavenly bodies, and his failed theories has brought a versatile thought into everyone's minds on how the planetary motions took place and how the distant stars move as well, in which we finally come to find out how the universe expands and moves on its own accord. Though his theory was rejected, it brought light into modern science, which is now a very essential phenomenon in astronomy.
He sure did contribute a lot towards astronomy. People that time were much smarter than us without technology. Well guys, let's move on to Greek manuscripts. Interesting Greek manuscripts. What was in them? And how were they stored and preserved?
Well, I wish I had a fancy papyrus scroll where I could write my name on. But coming towards papyrus scrolls, what were they? Well, the papyrus scrolls were scrolls of data, or they acted as paper for the ancient Greeks. The texture and the color of the papyrus scroll was very peculiar. They were brown in color and had a smooth and definitive texture. Some papyrus scrolls vary in length from 40,000 to 400,000 in height. These scrolls were preserved and kept safe in libraries. The scrolls were very delicate and took a long time to roll back up after reading it. Well, how did they write in them? Well, with a feather, of course. A metal fountain pen by the fancy and rich Greek scholars. Ink, you ask? Well, yes, ink was easy to find back in the days, and would stay put on the papyrus scroll, without any smudge like the pens we have these days. For example, the leaking gel pens. But when we come to talk about the astronomical scripts made by our famous Greek astronomers, various diagrams, models of the heavenly bodies, and astronomical tables about astrology were drawn, and the masses of the heavens were written in depth.
For the astronomers, the papyrus scroll was like a diary for them to pour their hearts out about their theories, just like the journals we have where we pour our lovely feelings into them. So, in them, the constellations were drawn and described in detail, which had helped many astronomers and Greeks to understand the heavens, when to travel, how to travel, when to harvest, and many interesting things. But then, where were these papyrus scrolls preserved? And well, the answer is, they were preserved in libraries.
The library was the most largest and significant libraries of the ancient world. The library was part of a larger institution called the Mausoleum, which was dedicated to the Muses. Who are the Muses, you ask? The Muses were the nine goddesses of arts, literature, and science, where they were mentioned in various poems. A daughter library was established in Serapeum, which was like a temple to the Greco-Egyptian god Serapis. The greatest Greek scholars worked and took care of the ancient library with utmost care. There were many scholars appointed to take care of the library, and many heads to control and keep a toll on the scrolls. The heart of this library was the collection of books. The organizers collected all the cultures and languages of the world, where commercial ships that docked at Alexandria were searched by the police, not for contraband, but for books.
These books or scrolls were borrowed, copied, and then returned to their owners. It is said that 500,000 volumes of handwritten papyrus scrolls were contained in the library. And as mentioned earlier, these handwritten papyrus scrolls, ranging from lengths of 40,000 to 4 lakh in height, that's enormous. But then what happened to these extraordinary books?
Well, let me tell you what happened. The classical civilization that created the very own library destroyed it. I know, it's very sad to know, but only a small fraction of its works survived, along with a few pathetic scattered fragments, but just imagine how important these tiny fragments are. And if we were to get a hold of the other scripts written in that time, I wonder how many theories could have been unfolded and found out now. The destruction of the library was done by a few classical civilians, by the names that we know of, Berossus and Julius Caesar.
Yep, you heard that right, Julius Caesar. Well, Berossus was a Babylonian priest who partially destroyed a few of the library's books, whereas Julius Caesar burned a few of the library's scrolls of papyrus during his civil war that took place around like 48 BC. But it was unclear of how much actually was destroyed, but it seems that the library was rebuilt shortly after the civil war and was again destroyed during the following years. But in the following years, Alexandria's sister, Serapeum, destroyed everything to bits and fragments, which were of no use at all.
Well, this episode was one hell of a journey. We covered and traveled through time back to the ancient Greeks age and learned a bunch of stuff about them.
I hope you all understood all of that. Now, we can say that learning about our past would unfold an enormous frequency of our future.
In our next episode, we'll be talking about a few more Greek astronomers, some amazing theories that they accomplished, and about how the constellations were given their funky names, irrelevant to how they were shaped.
Thank you all for joining our podcast. See you all next week. Do follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
So, peace out, everyone.